If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
Those are my friends.
For the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell out here at East River 9, and it is awesome. What a great morning after all that rain that we've had all week long. Time to get out and play some golf, and this is the place to do it. And all you have to do, we're going to have our promotions table out here. All you have to do is come sign up, and you could win those e-bikes, okay, which are pretty cool. $4,000-plus value. All you need to do is come out and sign up at one of our events this summer. It's the Summer Circuit, and we are here at East River 9. You've never been here, you need to come. It is beautiful. It's awesome. Love doing the show here. Thanks, East River 9, for having us. And by the way, live music on the weekends out here. Live music, crawfish. I mean, it's a party. It's a party right here. Great place to come. Bring a date. Just hang out with your boys. Not four-hour rounds. It's about an hour and a half to play. It's just awesome. So come on out. And we got I think it's the best view of downtown. Right here. This is the best view. If you haven't seen it before, it's awesome, especially at night. And by the way, it's open at night. So get on over here. If you have to work, well, then all you need to do is come here, make a tee time, and come at night and play, and it's awesome. So we had the Astros.
We're here all – by the way, Station's here all day, right?
Station's here all day.
And this is where they're giving away the e-bikes?
No. You sign up. I mean,
It's all summer long.
You've only
okay.
been saying that for
– but sometimes my headphones don't
he's
work.
He's Biden. He's walking around.
You can't use that. You can't use that. It's already been used today.
He's walking around going,
how do I turn my headphones up? Number three.
Are we giving away an e-bike today?
Dell told him number three 100 times.
You know, it was a nice game last night. You win by one.
Some early action in that one. You know, get down quick, 1-0. But the offense. I thought their pitcher looked. I thought he had some decent stuff. I was like, this could get a little interesting. And then the Astros put a three spot on him, and from there's a boat race.
Well,
Fromber did what Fromber
boat
does.
Race is a strange way to put a 4-3 game. Well, especially with a lot of people, you know, minus 1.5, and you know.
Well, it was a boat race. They never really were in danger.
Well, except you were one swing away when Hader gave up the homer in the ninth.
Yeah, you were, but yeah. Did you really think you were losing to a 7-win team on the road?
I didn't think.
I didn't either.
I didn't think that. See, and that's the Astros. They know how to win. They just know how to win. They do.
It helps when it's the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're part of the league, and other teams get to play them too, you know?
Once the Astros went up 3-1 with Fromber on the mound, I thought, this should be good.
Yeah.
This should be good. And they gave up, you know, they put a four spot, then there was, you know, White Sox had a run. How the hell did Niall get here already?
He's amazing.
Like impending doom hanging over your shoulder. He just comes out of the bathroom. I don't even know where he came from. He beat us here. Did you sleep in the bathroom overnight? It's crazy. That's 4-2, and then Hader goes to the ninth. And, you know, Astros closers, they can't just finish a one inning without trouble.
Gotta
have some drama. So Astros win 4-3. It's kind of crazy watching. I was over at Blood Brothers. They've got a really cool. You got to go on Thursdays. They do an open. They do an open menu where their chef gets to make. You know, they have some. Let's just call it barbecue comfort food. Like it's bananas. These egg roll stuff with brisket and. They have something called sleaze balls and then they'll have some Korean type food on there. Yeah. So We were there talking to Robbie. Me and my wife had a great talk with him, had some cocktails. And I got the Astros to my left, and I got Edmonton, Florida on my right.
Yeah, nice.
And holy crap, you know, so I'm watching Fromber, watching everything. And Florida, bang, one. Bang, two, right away. Bang, three. 3-0 in the first. I'm like, well, this is a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast, my friend.
No.
Four consecutive by Edmonton. Florida ties it late. Go to overtime. Edmonton wins 5-4 to tie that series up at two. I say that because, you know, it's the same scenario as Indiana. Game one, the home team won, Edmonton. Game two, Florida pulled the upset.
Well, in this
Indiana pulled
the
upset.
Oh,
no, Indiana won yeah. game one. That's right. Indiana won game one. But then Indiana won game three.
Right.
Of course, they're at home there.
Potentially.
I guess it was a little bit different. But, yeah, but Edmonton in game four tied it up. Let's see if – and Edmonton started this series as the favorite. Let's see if Oklahoma City on the road in game four can hold serve and make it 2-2 like Edmonton did.
Yeah.
Kind of similar circumstances.
Well, in every series, somebody's up 2-1. I don't know if you
well,
know
but, but it's the road, but it's the underdog in both scenarios.
Yeah.
It's the underdog.
No, the Panthers weren't the underdog.
Yes,
they
were.
2-1.
They 100% were the underdog for the series.
Yeah.
100%.
Even with home ice advantage.
Plus 180.
Or no, they didn't have home ice advantage. Edmonton did.
Trust me, I was shocked to see it.
Yeah.
The team that won back to back. But they were a decent sized dog, actually. Maybe it was 170, 115. I have to see what it was. But they were an underdog going into the series. And now Indiana was a much larger underdog going into the series, but and they still are. I texted you that. It's still -250 Oklahoma City. They're down 2-1 on the road in Indiana. Now, granted, they're a 6-point favorite.
But are you a 6-point favorite?
Indiana has showed they can play with you two of the three games.
Yeah.
Granted, game one had its ebbs and flows, but they came back and won. Game two, clear Oklahoma City. Game three, dogfight. And Indiana closed. They got home court advantage. I just think that's crazy.
I do too.
That Oklahoma City is a 2.5-1 point favorite to win the series when they're now. To be fair, I still think Oklahoma City is going to win it, but that seems kind of crazy.
Sure. I'm not sure anymore.
It seems kind of crazy. No, I think
tonight.
I think it goes seven. Oh, if they lose tonight,
if they're down 3-1,
they can come back from 3-1 though. They can come back from 3-1, but Indiana could absolutely win this. I think +170 or whatever. Man, if you are so inclined to do it, man, I'm jumping on Indiana. The value of being up 2-1 with a home game, this series is now in your favor.
I just don't – I understand. I think the public would jump all over. If it's a 3-point game, 6 points on the road?
No, but I'm just saying for the series.
I know, I get it. The series, too. Well, the series, I could see them still being a favorite, but not that big.
250? Yeah, not that big.
Not that big.
I'd say 190, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's just ridiculous what I guess they think they're going to get inundated with Oklahoma City.
John Chill don't want to get buried with Oklahoma City.
He'll get Oklahoma City money. But at this point, again, after game one, the 11, they're laying 11 after they lose game one. They lose game two, and they're laying 6 on the road. I mean, it's just, to me, this is just, I don't know if it's disrespect or them just worried that they are going to get just deluged with Oklahoma City money.
Probably so.
And I need Oklahoma City to win so my son-in-law doesn't kill himself, okay?
Oh.
Big Oklahoma City fan.
Is he?
Big.
Wow. He lives there. That's all they have.
It's
all they have.
In their lives.
Uh-huh.
Anybody.
Well, is he an Oklahoma State guy?
State guy, so he has probably, nothing.
Oh, he has nothing.
He has nothing, yeah.
Doesn't he have, like, men's golf?
Men's golf, which he didn't watch a second of. I did. He might have watched the championship. He might have watched that. But it's unfortunate. Everybody in Oklahoma, I feel bad for them because they have nothing in their lives. So this is it. This is all they have. So good luck to Oklahoma City tonight. But I'm still taking the 6. You got to be kidding me with the laying 6 at Indiana.
Okay.
At Indiana. It's just crazy.
Yeah, because did you see this? Rick Carlisle is using these lines. He's keeping track of the point spreads.
No,
he said we're going to be an underdog in every game this series. It was 10.5 points in the first two games in the general sense. 5.5 in game three, and then in game four, which it's actually higher. It's a daunting challenge. Anything less than a total grit mindset, we just don't have a chance. I mean, he's really selling it, you know. Yeah. Anything less, we just don't have a chance.
He's a hell of a coach. I don't know that we give Rick Carlisle enough credit.
He always has been.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's been. What, Detroit?
To beat that Miami team?
Yeah, the Mavericks. I think he probably, you know, he's, I don't know if he's a player's coach per se because he demands accountability and wants the game played a certain way.
Oh, sorry.
Players don't like that. Like, I'm not.
I'm not a player's coach. I'm going to demand that you actually play the right way.
I don't know if I'm a son's dad because I demand accountability. I just don't follow through with it all the time.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're in trouble, but then, yeah, I'm not going to take away your phone. Just whatever. I forgot. You know, so yeah. The players would probably like to play for me because I would forget punishments.
Right.
I'd just be like, that's not convenient for me.
Yeah, you can't just be a drug mule, but a coach, you're too forgetful.
But, Rick, I don't think players love playing necessarily. Not most probably love playing for guys that are Rick Carlisle-y. And, frankly, our guy's Rick Carlisle-y, too, if you really want to know the truth. Ime is pretty much the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not a lot of laughing and joking publicly. There's an intensity there.
Ime's got to win more. Ime's got to win more than, you know, Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle's a Hall of Fame coach.
Ime's only had 3 years as a head coach.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
1 year in Boston, 2 years with us. That's it. That's hard to believe. He feels like a longtime head coach.
Well, he will be.
He will be. But, yeah, Rick Carlisle, I don't know if it happened for Rick Carlisle that quick, but I think it will happen for Ime long as the moves are good.
Is Ime going to be Tom Thibodeau at any point because he wears on the players because it's
– I heard the Thibodeau thing was it was the owner.
James Dolan.
Yeah, it was not Karl Anthony Towns per se. People had questions about that.
Yeah, but Thibodeau has the rap against him is how hard he works.
I think
the
you
players.
Have to have certain players.
Yeah.
Just like Ime. Yeah, I think only certain players can play for him. Same thing with Kelvin Sampson. Only certain players can play for Tibbs. Yeah, and the problem with this is Kelvin can recruit the guys he wants. Ime has his guys in place for the most part now, so he's kind of lucky in that way.
In a bit of a way, because he didn't have to get stuck with James Harden. He said, no, thank you.
Well, that's what I mean. He also has some say. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau has a ton of say. And Leon Rose, their GM over there, was Thibodeau's former agent. So it's kind of a weird dynamic where that's why when people said Leon Rose is the one who fired him, not James Dolan, they tried to put that narrative out there. They said it. They sold that to Mike Francesa, and Mike Francesa was saying that on all of his shows, and the Mad Dog, his former radio partner, came out. Hey, anybody who tells you that this is Mike Francesa, that this is Leon Rose, is absolute garbage. And apparently, because the idea is Leon Rose, his former agent, gave him a 3-year contract extension last year, and then he's the one firing him this year, leaving on the hook. No, that's an owner's decision to pay that.
What a mess. I mean, Barkley put it best. They're the stupidest organization.
You get so close, and then look at you.
I mean, well, that's James Dolan.
Stupid. That's why I hope we don't do anything stupid with Ime.
Yeah. No.
And Ime, let's do everything the right way here in Houston.
Yeah, we did. Well, how we do it?
We don't want the Boston stuff now.
No, stop.
You think Boston wanted to lose him? Although Joe Mazzullo's been they've got a good head coach. Yeah, well, he only had 1 year for a reason.
I understand that, but we don't want the Boston stuff.
No, we want him here for a long time.
Yeah. No.
You do want this stuff?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Let the man eat whatever he wants, okay?
But the point is, when he ate the last time, it led to him losing his
food poisoning.
Well, it did. It did lead to job poisoning, yes.
Job poisoning. Yes. I have a lot of, like...
That, no, man, maybe a man learned his lesson.
I've never been more excited about three coaches in Houston history than Kelvin Sampson. Espada's whatever. Kelvin Sampson.
What the?
Caught a stray.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fine. I mean, Joe Espada, is he doing things for you?
You're doing a great job.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
He's like
a banana for breakfast. This is fine.
But
it's not exciting. It's fine.
How do you feel about the Astros that way?
The Astros are playing.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's how you feel
about
the Astros.
This is fine. Joe Espada's fine. He didn't do anything crazy.
No, he just
does stuff by the book. He didn't. You know, Dusty would do some crazy, but Dusty had some flavor to him. He had a little juice. Joe Espada's just like,
Yeah, and win, okay.
And that's okay.
Let's have a 4.5 game lead in June.
But he ain't got the D'Amico in him. He got that dog. He got Kelvin Sampson in him.
No, well, that's a different neighborhood. That's a whole nother.
You see any E-man in him? That's what I'm saying. I like that neighborhood.
Yeah, except baseball can't be like that, really.
No, baseball is a totally different animal. Yeah. No, I'm kind of joking a little bit, but because it's – like, what manager can be? You can't be too – you can't be enigmatic. You can't be overly energetic. You can't – like, in baseball, it's a 162. You can't be extra in baseball.
No.
Or it just, like, you can't – like, Scott Service, right? At some point, you don't think Scott Service wore on his own guys?
I don't know. I don't know if he was a player's guy. He's like a Draymond, where you like him on your team – but everybody else hates him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I just wondered what it would be like being with him for 162. Like, Larry Durker, when he was the Astros manager, he used to be too honest, although it changed after he had his aneurysm.
Yeah.
Because the players even said he got really super honest and almost to the point of being flagrant.
Yeah.
And it kind of rubbed some guys the wrong way. AJ was calm, cool.
I'll tell you
like a 1990s – television day.
I don't know. That AJ is pretty freaking good. He's doing this in Detroit.
You knew he was good.
Yeah, I knew he was good, but he's taking it to another
bust up
level.
You can
do that here.
He said, don't do the trash cans, and they didn't listen to
him.
Well,
he kind of went, stop it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when your dad says something, you should listen to what your dad
says. He's disappointed in you if you don't.
These kids, led by Carlos Beltran, did not care what dad had to say. First of all, AJ was his stepdad. That was his Jeff.
Yeah.
So he didn't really care. Carlos is like, you're not even my real dad, AJ. I'm not going to listen to you.
Well.
Because he wasn't. He was there for 1 year. He's like, you're not my real dad.
Well, and Uncle Cora, he also, okay, he was also behind.
He was letting you have your first beer.
Yeah. He was a great uncle.
He's 14 years old, Alex.
That's all right.
You shouldn't be giving him beer. You shouldn't be giving George Springer beer. And Springer's out behind the back drinking beer, hitting trash cans. Tyler White's like, I want some. Marwin's down in six packs of trash can punch.
Yeah.
All because Uncle Alex.
Uncle Alex was
giving people an early taste.
And that the bad kid that moved into town, Carlos Beltran.
Carlos Beltran was,
yeah.
Like, you come to my house. My parents are out of town.
Came from New York.
Yeah.
And he brought that.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what happened. All right. 713-780-3776, live from East River 9. I want you to come on out and hang out with us. Niall is already here, okay? He just he might have slept here. We don't know. But if you want to come out here, you can.
He got Pete Maravich socks on right now.
Sign up for the e-bikes that we're giving away here all summer long. Right now, though, we're talking a little Zadig.
Zadig Jewelers has dads and dogs. Starts today and tomorrow. I told my wife I'm bringing splits in, marathon splits. I'm going to bring splits in. Got to give them a little bath first, get them tightened up. But going to go in there. You got treats for the dogs. And they just want, like man's best friend is a dog. Well, they also want you to bring man's best friend in and then go take care of dad. Maybe you want to bring him in yourself and say, Dad, I'm going to take you somewhere. And you go, and he's like, why is the dog in the car? Don't worry about it, Dad. And you stop in at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, and you show him. It depends on what your budget is. You might want to show him a really sweet Mont Blanc pen that he can use where at his business if he's – because he may have a – he may sit in an office, and it's a really beautiful pen. People know about it. People in the business world know about the Mont Blanc pens. The cufflinks, you have high-end, really cool cufflinks. If he's a big suit wearer and wants to look his best. But, of course, they also have luxury watches. So if you're looking to buy your dad something for Father's Day, you want to do something special, maybe this is just the one time you're going to get him a special gift. You've been doing it for Mom. How about you hook up Dad with a great gift like a luxury watch from our friends over at Zadig Jewelers. They've been the official jeweler of the city of Houston, unofficial, but I say official, for over four decades. And tomorrow they make it really cool. Today and tomorrow. Because from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., bring your dog in, get a treat for the dog, and do your shopping there at Zadig Jewelers, where they have a selection for anything and everything you could possibly be looking for. Hey, bring your dog in if you're looking for a new set of earrings for your wife. It doesn't matter. Take advantage of it then. It's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, 28,000 square feet of great jewelry waiting for you, Zadig Jewelers.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
For the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Yep, that's all we need to do. Come on out and sign up. And you could win those e-bikes and with a more than $4,000 value. So we're looking for you to come on out to one of our remotes this summer. That's all you have to do and sign up. Law enforcement in Miami-Dade County is seeking to arrest former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown on a charge of attempted murder, according to a warrant reviewed by the Washington Post.
What a mess.
He's having himself a big, big time. It took longer than I thought for him to get into real serious trouble. Actually, he did. Yeah. He hit the over. His freedom hit the over, I think.
Yeah. It was a matter of time. I don't know what. I mean, he's had some dust-ups now. He hasn't paid for certain things. He had,
very public thing with
delivery people. Well, there were the mover stuff, but there was something else, too. Like, he's a menace. I mean, he's a menace to society. And this was, but I didn't see this one coming. I guess Delhi took a security guard's gun, is what he did.
Fired a couple of shots and grazed the alleged victim in the neck. And
$10,000 bond, which is not the highest bond.
Yeah,
for somebody who grazed someone in the neck.
Well, and yeah, he's got the man has issues. The man has some issues now.
So I saw him. He got in a fight at a boxing event. And he said, regarding the boxing event that now this is on May 17th, he said this. Regarding the boxing event that happened last night, I was jumped by multiple individuals who tried to steal my jewelry and cause physical harm to me. Contrary to some video circulating, police temporarily detained me until they received my side of the story and then released me. The Washington Post report adds that Miami police detectives, per the warrant, have since obtained cell phone video footage apparently showing Brown punching a man. The whole fight started because, imagine this, someone says something and you just believe it, but they've got video footage that says, he lied to us. He actually punched someone, and that's how it started. Further footage shows Brown appearing to take the gun of a security officer and running toward the man he had punched. Per the warrant, the footage also captures two gunshots as Brown approached the man, as well as the man ducking. So, yeah, this is – should probably get in trouble for this. You fire a gun at somebody, you go to jail, you go to prison.
Yeah.
That's just what happens.
I don't care
if he has CTE or whatever. It's just what the law tends to be.
This was an inevitable result for Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is – I think there might be some CTE from that hit that he took – or he was laid out. He just has been a nut job ever since. And
right.
It's kind of sad. It really is kind of sad. Now, what's going to happen with Jimmy Ward, do you think? What do you think the Texans? The Texans didn't have any comment yesterday. Jimmy Ward, for those of you who don't know, had a family issue in which he's been charged with third degree. There's all kinds of different stuff, and I don't want to misspeak, but he had a domestic violence issue.
I guess it's an obstruction of the air passage.
Yeah, right.
Like choking.
Choking, right.
So that's what's going on right now. You know, he's been out. He's still out with a foot injury. I could see this being pretty big trouble for him.
Third degree felony assault,
felony.
Family violence, impeding breath, circulation. Victim Ward's fiance granted emergency protective order.
All of that is we'll see what ends up happening. But currently, as it stands, before all of the facts are parsed and everything goes through, currently where it stands, really bad stuff for Jimmy Ward.
Yeah,
and the Texans. You know, that he's being accused of felony choking is what that is in essence. I mean, strangulation. So a fiance gets a protective order. We'll see, you know, how that moves forward, because obviously she could end up dropping that. I don't know. That doesn't mean that that law enforcement has to drop it. It doesn't mean they have to, that they can't follow forward on something, but we'll see what that does with Jimmy Ward. I mean, you know, that's an off the field stuff, and you gotta hopefully you do right by whatever the facts of the case tell you, whether it's from Jimmy Ward or his fiance. But as it's given to us currently, because I don't want to speculate beyond what we have is not good.
No.
It's not good, and I can see the Texans maybe stepping away from it. It's always a little easier when you can step away. That's going to be something that allows them to get out of a contract, too, if they end up cutting him. I don't even know that his contract's guaranteed this year anyway, but even if it is, that could be something that they can get out of his contract, because it falls outside of the lines of what allows you to have guaranteed money whenever you are, you know, charged with a felony count. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see what moves forward. We got to see if we get any more details. I'm sure more details, right? But the question is, it's not going to happen overnight. Were they just going to, this all be settled in a month? It takes time.
Yeah.
So what will they do? Will they keep him? I think they'll keep. I think the NFL will have to put him on.
They got a little time.
But the NFL's going to have
about a month
suspend
before
him.
Camp. So we got a little bit of time. You know,
yeah.
The NFL will do their investigation, and then you know, the Texans have to make a decision. You know, what kind of organization, you know, they are.
Well, the NFL
still
can
that
put
same
him
kind
on
of organization that Bob started 25 years.
Well,
ago.
It's a little different, but Bob was really tight. But the NFL can put him on a suspended list.
Right.
While they investigate.
Right.
So I think that's probably bound to happen sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. 713-780-3776. If you guys have anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. That was our Law & Order segment right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. So we got that done. We will talk some more Texans on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Game Day Men's Health. I went yesterday, and I got me a peptide to help me even more focus. It is amazing all the different things. It doesn't matter what it is that you're trying to achieve. You want to lose weight. You want to gain weight. You want to be better in bed. You want to be more focused at work. You want to be whatever it is that you're looking to do, whatever goal it is that you have for your body or your mind, because they have that as well. They have the peptides for you. They have the expertise to give you the correct options, exactly what you need. They have the testosterone, obviously, but they have labs there to make sure that whatever you're doing, you know, it's right, and they can test you right there on the spot and get you the results in minutes, as opposed to the other places where you have to wait a week or more to find out what you're doing. The other places are starting to copy a Game Day. They're starting to give you free consultations. They're starting to put labs in their facilities. They ain't as good, I'm telling you. Each Game Day facility is just out of this world. I am a big fan, and I hope you are too. If you need testosterone replacement, GameDayMensHealth.com. GameDayMensHealth.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
So fancy.
You're listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. You guys want to get in? It's Friday. Basically a holiday show, because it is a Friday. It's a East River 9 Friday. We love East River 9. And if you haven't been out here, especially on the weekends with the live music, they got live music every weekend here, Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Micah, what was his last name?
Parsons.
Honky Tonk, 7 to 9. We got Honky Tonk Revivalist. That's going to be, tonight, Honky Tonk Revivalist from 7 to 9. Okay, so get on over here, and tomorrow night. Tonight and tomorrow night. So weekends, you got not only June 14th is tomorrow, and you got Shakedown Band out here, 7 to 9. So come on out and hang out, and you got Crawfish Boil. How about that? What a party place. Mm-hmm. Y'all are doing a great job out here. Bands and crawfish and golf and pickleball. Dell, have you played pickleball here yet?
I'm not a pickleball person.
You're not? Don't you go to Chicken and Pickle?
No, I've talked about this on my show, that stupid little show I do, as you term it. I don't want to be a person that has to say I'm going to the Chicken and Pickle, so I will never play pickleball there.
You will never eat chicken there either. What if the chicken is the greatest chicken ever?
Then I guess I'm bleep out of luck because...
Well, you can still go to a place that has chicken. You're not forced to play pickleball.
I don't want to tell people at any point, yeah, I went to the Chicken and Pickle. It's not a phrase I want to say, so I'm not going.
You just don't want to say I'm going to the Chicken and Pickle.
It's something, it goes against my entire ethos.
There is some things you don't want to say out loud that you do.
Yeah.
If it sounds bad, like if it doesn't sound
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Some websites you visit.
Well, yeah. Sure, I guess, but it's just not something I want to have the conversation about. Oh, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went to the Chicken and Pickle. I don't want to say that ever.
Sean, do you want to say that ever in your life? I went to the Chicken and Pickle?
I'm not as opposed to it as Dell, but I'm not dying to go, I'd say.
I want to go to the Chicken and Pickle now.
You look like a Chicken and Pickle guy.
Uh-huh, I know.
Yeah.
If you can eat chicken and play pickleball at a place, I just feel like it's...
And if it had a different name, I wouldn't be opposed if they had the greatest chicken in the world. I'm not going any place specifically to play pickleball. I don't care about pickleball. But if they had the greatest chicken in the world, I would go. But not if it's called the Chicken and Pickle.
Okay, the Chicken and Pickle. That's a problem for you.
It's a lot of advertising for this place, but not great advertising.
I don't know.
I can't tell.
It
like,
doesn't bother me.
I wouldn't go there. I'm not going. I don't want it. Sounds bad if I'm having
if it was,
chicken and pickles.
This is a me thing. It doesn't talk. It
because
doesn't say what
if
they
you,
are.
What if you accidentally? Instead of the chicken, you get confused and you play chicken ball and you put a pickle
ball.
In your mouth.
I don't want to put a
see
pickle
what I'm saying?
In my mouth.
It could be pickle in the mouth and he ends up playing chicken.
See,
it's like he got confused.
He doesn't want to put a pickle.
And then you play chicken.
See, I don't mind it as much. If it was chicken and maggots, I would hate that.
Oh, what a
you know
terrible name
that's
for
a terrible
that's
name.
What a terrible name for a
restaurant.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's
name.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Chicken and pickle. I like pickles. You know, so
maggots are us.
Yeah, right. You know
what? A buffet for maggots?
No,
it's terrible.
Chicken
no one's going to go
is a
there.
Bad name.
No
for
one's
a restaurant,
going there.
I think. I don't
you're
know.
Trying to clean
that's
dead
just me,
flesh.
You know, I just found out about a app on your phone that what you do is you sign up on this app. It didn't cost any money, and it alerts you to these restaurants that are around. It's like restaurants, kolache places, stuff like that, and they will like too good to go or something like that, and it will tell you about places, and you have to get on quick to do it where you can claim. Like $18 worth of, like Blood Brothers had one where you get $18 worth of food for $5.99 or $6. And you have to go pick, it's at toward the end of the night, right? It's at the end of the night
when
they're
closing.
So they don't
throw it out.
So they don't throw it out and you get to like, and so Chelsea got ribs and sausage the other night for $6.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they got this for like, not every place does it, but Whole Foods has it for bread, you know, from the bakery, the kolache shop.
That's good.
All these, yeah. I just
that's
found
really
out
good.
About this.
It's not great because you know
Chinese eating, food. They
eating
have some
right
of that?
Before you go to bed is probably not
well,
the
you can
best
save
thing.
It and throw it in the refrigerator.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Chinese food. No one ever had Chinese food.
Oh yeah, no Chinese
the next
food
day.
Is great the next
it's
day.
Great the next day.
Well, you need it in an hour after you eat. So, I mean, you need it right away. So.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Why am I so hungry? Like, I don't know. Because
you ate Chinese.
It wasn't low calorie.
No.
Go look at this. I don't know why you're still
but I'm
hungry
again. I don't know what the hell happened there. 713-780-3776. I'm looking at a list of tight ends, the best tight ends. They got – okay. I go through – I do this, and I'm it's a problem for me. So they got all the tight ends and ranked all the tight ends. And Bowers is number one, and as well he should be. Where do you think Dalton Schultz lands in the top 24?
Tight ends?
Yeah.
What would a public sentiment? Probably like 14.
Well, that's a trick question because he's not in the top 24.
Oh, he's not?
No. It's interesting. Yeah,
there's
very
the
little
public,
regard for him.
I figure the public because of his stats would put him like 14.
No. No, this is a fantasy ranker.
Oh.
A fantasy ranker.
Oh, well, then the thought is probably he's going down with the two new wide receivers. But and with Stover. I mean, he's going to come down. I don't know that I wouldn't put him in the top 24, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so CJ seems to.
Bowers is one, Trey McBride's two, George Kittle, Sam LaPorta.
Who's
Where
number
would
you wait,
place,
who's number two?
Trey McBride.
Oh, Trey McBride. Yeah, he catches a lot.
A lot.
I mean, it's in Arizona, so no one knows.
Yeah. Well, probably Marvin Harrison will have some more catches for him this year.
I would think
he's going to have a better year. But where do you think Tyler Warren is?
Colts. He's not as high as you think because he's got bad quarterbacking. So probably
bad quarterbacks go to tight ends a lot, though.
His, I think, well, especially rookie, yeah. And it looks like Daniel Jones has a good chance of winning that job now.
Of course he does.
Because Anthony Richardson has a shoulder. It's got to calcify and heal up, so it's going to take about 6 weeks. So he'll be ready by the beginning of camp. But, the Colts
even
have to
Anthony
win.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, even if he's
fine.
Healthy, the Colts have to win. This guy's been a starter. Yeah. He's had a winning season. Daniel Jones, to me, is the favorite to win that. Tyler Warren, I looked at the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year odds. He's a bit of a long shot.
Yeah.
Which Colston Loveland is up higher than he is with the Chicago Bears.
And he's up higher here, 15th. I think Tyler Warren is going to be really, really good.
I'd say Warren is about 18th, 17th.
He's 20th on this list.
Okay.
Behind Kyle Pitts and Cade Otton.
Well, they run it a lot, and they have Pierce, and they have Pittman, and they have Josh Downs. Like, they've got three really good wide receivers. Oh, three good wide receivers. That's really good. Three good wide receivers, a good running back, and then you got shaky quarterback play. I can see where they think maybe Tyler Warren is not. I think Tyler Warren is going to come in and take some catches away from people.
Yeah.
Because the dude's a baller.
Yeah.
Like, I think Alex Pierce may not get the same amount of throws from Daniel Jones.
I don't know. I don't think they watched Tyler Warren in college because Tyler Warren is a beast on the field. Tyler Warren is going to be. Tyler Warren next.
So he
this
had a
time,
special quarterback
year,
thrown to him. Drew Aller. He had someone special thrown to him.
He is special. You're right about that. At least he was special on that last play. Tyler Warren at this time next year is going to be a top 10 tight end in the league.
Yeah, I think that's,
yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so he's a guy that maybe you pick up, you can pick him up probably mid to late rounds. And he's a guy that, is going to perform for you. Even if he is, you get two decent tight ends. That would be a guy that you look at. I'm already deep into what we're doing fantasy wise. Okay.
I see you. You're all in. You used to be anti-fantasy guy, and now you're a huge pro fantasy
guy. I'm a pro fantasy guy. Oh, yeah. And I'm a pro golf guy. It's 7:43, and we haven't even touched on the most important tournament in the history of golf.
I want to talk some golf right now. I want to ask you about what I just saw. So there is – we're at East River 9, for people who don't know. We have a great view of the city. Have you ever seen what I just saw? There is a woman who's getting ready to golf with big tattoos down both legs. That's not a typical golfer, right?
It's not a typical.
Well, not at your country clubs.
No.
But she could, how often do you go to Herman
there
Park?
There she is, John. Look.
Let me see.
How often do you go to Herman Park?
That's not typical of a golfer.
No, it's not. She's,
well, but that's
she's
not the
Asian.
Wrong with...
She's Asian, so that's typical.
Well, she's younger.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
She's younger.
I didn't say
that's typical. No, what?
Of an Asian woman.
No,
golfing.
No.
Yeah.
First of all, she looks like she's a good golfer.
Yeah, she does.
Number one, she's got the look. She's got
a long
clothes,
ponytail.
She's got the pony out
but
of the.
She is tatted up all over her legs.
But that's a Gen. That's also a Gen Z.
That's
thing.
Not a typical. That's not what you normally see at
Gen
your club.
Z.
Not at my club.
No.
Not at my club.
No, but you also don't have.
Except no, at my club, Highland Pines. There's a lot of tat. There's some. And there.
If they're in their 20s,
there's some tats.
Gen Z all has. Alex going to get a tattoo.
Yeah,
the kid won't eat white rice because it's too spicy.
Yeah, we have some tats out there.
Rice? That's what you just said?
Yeah, he won't eat white rice.
What
rice? I like the way it tastes. It tastes like nothing. What's wrong with you?
What rice is bothersome to him? All of
white rice? All rice?
He can't, so he won't go.
So won't even try it.
Why did you bring up white rice? Because she's Asian? Racist?
No, I'm saying because it's bland, and he won't even eat bland rice. Just like, I don't like the way it tastes, but he'll get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a needle with ink in it. That generation, they're already like Sebastian. Like, my first tattoo is going to be this. Mason says that, yeah. Like, Drake already has about seven of them. That generation gets a ton of tattoos.
Historically, golf and tattoos are not.
It will be.
It is. Yeah,
it will be. You'll have a lot more tattoos.
Is there anybody in the top 10, men or women, who has tattoos on their legs?
On their legs, I don't know that.
You wouldn't know unless they played.
I haven't seen that though. I haven't seen a lot of Tats. Period on the tour.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, that's not the tour culture. It really isn't. So I don't know that she's going to make it. I don't know where she'll
be ranked. She looks.
She is a young Asian woman, so she probably
has a leg up.
She has a shot, but
just on
the Tats
looks.
Are.
Well, maybe she's good too.
Well,
and then she didn't have a shot just because she's Asian.
She has to be.
She's Asian. She's got a shot.
Yeah, I heard what
that's
he said.
Like you're Italian. You got a shot at being a fascist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the history of fascism coming out of there.
At killing people. That's right. That's right. I got a shot.
You and Antonio Brown.
Enemy of America is what
that's
you
right.
are. At least in the 40s
he is the problem.
Yeah, you were an enemy of America at one point.
At one point, I really was.
Yes.
Craig DeSurf has tats, doesn't he?
At one point, no.
Craig DeSurf is a tat guy?
No.
He's not?
Why are you saying that?
No. I don't know. I thought Craig DeSurf was
a tat
guy.
He's a weightlifter, but he's not a tat guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was a tat guy.
No. He's not
a tat guy. I know he's not much of a golfer.
Never seen. He's not a tat guy at all. Now, he has people working for him that are.
Yeah, yeah.
Gen Z. They're tattoo people. Doesn't matter, though. They're still doing great service, great work, great job over there. Service department went over. Taylor is... She's been service writer for a long time over there, and shout out to Taylor, pregnant with her fourth child, still looking great, still doing a great job behind the counter there on the service department. That's a family at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Just purchased another vehicle from them for my wife, the Chevy Equinox. We went from a 7-seater to a 5-seater. Don't need a 7-seater anymore. And it's great service across the board. I really paid attention to them working with other people who are on the lot, and it's just no pressure. It's no pressure. That's the great thing for me is who wants pressure when they're shopping for a vehicle? Nobody does. And I'll give you an example of something you could be shopping for right now. You could be in the market for a new truck, and if you check out the 2025 GMC Sierra 1500 with Turbo Max engine, you are going to be impressed. It's not only good-looking, but it's powerful, and well-qualified buyers have a chance to get a 0% APR financing. You can see dealer for complete details. Get to the website, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
Food and rain rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tats. He had tats, so there's that. Opening average yards on opening drives. Who do you think was the best last year on opening drive of the football game in the NFL? And it's you'll never get it.
Like I'll say the Rams.
Tampa.
Okay.
They averaged 47 yards on opening drive.
That's really good.
Average
47?
Average.
Baker is one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen.
Kansas City averaged 44. Where do you think the Texans fell in this? It's
a
little bit surprising.
Well, at 25.
33 yards, same as Detroit.
Oh, that's high up there.
Yeah.
Top 10, right?
33. No, it's not top 10. But
that's not top 10?
No. Kansas City, New Orleans, Cincinnati, Indy, and Minnesota, Baltimore.
Wow, sounds like a bunch of teams. You got Indy in there. You got New Orleans. Sounds like this is an irrelevant stat.
Well, Kansas City, Cincinnati.
Why you got double flies on you? It's killing me.
I know there's flies in here. The worst in the league averaged 10 yards.
Who's
10.
That?
The Bears. Averaged 10 yards on their opening drive. Even New England was better at 19. I mean, it's ridiculous how bad the Bears were on their opening drives. What does that say to – well, that says something about the preparation. About the coach, right? That says a lot about the offensive game plan.
Mm-hmm. Usually says it says something. It says something. I don't know. Could be play calling in terms of your scripted plays. Your scripted plays should set you up for success. Could be bad offensive line.
Could be a bad quarterback play. Yeah. Well, was Caleb Williams that bad? I know he got patted on the head by CJ.
He wasn't good at times. At other times, he was better. He was inconsistent. I think he's going to be fine.
But to me, opening, if you can't, if you're that bad on opening, that's a coaching thing. To me, that's a preparation thing. You're not ready. You can't. The other team, the opponent should have no idea, and you should know as much as you possibly can about the opponent on that opening drive.
I think when you think about the way drives are created, the opening drive, the opening script is created, it is designed for you to not just tell you how a team is going to maybe cover something or how they're going to respond to something you're showing them so you can use it for later in the game. It's also set up to where you've got your best, like you should have the defense on their heels a little bit.
Yeah.
You've got some good stuff dialed up that's
they don't
that's
know what you're going to do.
Yeah, so I would tend to agree with that. I think teams that get out quickly to quick starts, it's usually pretty favorable. A lot of times it is. Gary Kubiak used to be very good with his scripts. Remember that?
Yeah.
Kubiak had a lot of success with the plays
Walsh
were scripted.
Bill scripted out the first 25 plays, you know.
Kubiak did, I think, 15-play script.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk to a coordinator and find out what the if-then statements of a script are, because you obviously can't just stay by it depending on down and distance.
If it's working.
I'd love to. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certain plays set up for down and distance. So I'm curious about how that's – I'd love to talk to an OC about how do you get – like what happens when the script calls for you to get away from a run play or whatever based on down and distance. But, yeah, Gary was really good. And then Gary was also notorious for not being very good at – making adjustments to what defenses did. So the scripted stuff, great. Sometimes, you know, his offenses would go through lulls then. Baker Mayfield, I mean, Baker had a good year last year. Baker is turning into a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
It's one of the cooler stories I've seen. You know, he wasn't very likable early on in his career. Kind of a bratty, you know, arrogant, bratty guy. We know he had some edge in college, planted the flag. A lot of people love that at Ohio State. But then I think it was just, I don't know, he just wasn't mature enough. He wasn't ready. He got humbled at Cleveland and then became a little bit of an NFL vagabond and looked like he could have been out of the league before you knew it. And then had one really good game with the Rams where he was joined like – that week, and they had to have a small – he had to get in. Like, he was the third quarterback. The second-team quarterback got hurt. Baker came in and won a game. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They could only call a certain amount of plays for him, and they won. And then he went to – was it Carolina? Or was it Carolina first and then L.A.? I can't remember the direction because he didn't do anything in Carolina.
No.
I think it may have been Carolina first and then L.A. And then he went to Tampa Bay, and it's like he has some good players around him, but – so what? There's lots of good quarterbacks who have good players around. That shouldn't like
bad
Baker's.
Baker's
done a good job with good quarterbacks around
them.
I kind of like seeing redemption stories for players,
mm-hmm.
and especially guys who are, you know, maybe humbled a little bit and come back and refine themselves as a more.
No, he's
know.
A good story. He
it
absolutely
is.
Is a
it
good
is.
Story. And he matured too. Plus, did you see this? Who was his first coach in Cleveland? The big guy they kept.
Not Jackson.
No. Well, it's his second coach. Yeah, who took?
Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah,
he came over and he was pulling on Baker on the sideline, and on the sideline he's like pulling at his beard, or he had some stubble or something on his face.
What?
And he walks away, and Baker goes, "What a numbnut! Well, he says, what an idiot the guy is."
Freddie
was a bad choice. Although, listen. We can't rewrite history. Freddie took over for Jackson, and they were really good at the end of the season.
And he was good with Baker. Like he did a good job with Baker his rookie season.
But he wasn't ready to be
a head. Yeah, no, there's not. There's a lot of coordinators have no business being good coaches. And Freddie Kitchens was one of them.
Right. 703-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You are more than welcome to hang out with us here. We are at East River 9, and just come on out and sign up, and you could win those over $4,000 value of electric bikes. Lance, I want them. I want to win them,
mm-hmm.
So I'm going to sign up as often as I possibly can and try to steal those from people. So that That is something that you have to watch out for.
That's something you need to watch out for. Todd, our boss, is literally
saying
stuff to the car like, shh, don't say that.
Don't say that. Don't say that. We're doing it right. We're going to do it right. We're not going to prison like we're at Channel 51. Okay? We're not doing that. All right? For those of you who don't know, when I was a Channel
For those 51, of you who don't know, there was a Channel 51 before.
There was a Channel
the
51.
The Astros, literally, road games were broadcast on.
Yes.
I did
the pre and post.
The pre and post game show on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And
you had to take some live calls every once in a while.
I know. Right. I did. And
from a lot of drunk people.
And some of them were.
Some of them weren't great.
No. And, yeah, one guy just threw some racial slurs on there, which we had to, you're an idiot,
How do you do it?
There was no dump button. Oh. There was no dump button. And we took live calls. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
There was no dump button at all?
No.
I didn't think, like, how, well, you can't.
No.
But sometimes there's a delay where you can bleep it out.
And you're risking your license that way. Absolutely. Oh,
and you were hosting.
And I was hosting.
Yeah.
And I was sober for
huge risks.
I was sober for the most part.
Yeah, that's good.
Not on Sports Night Live when we were at a bar every night. That was different. But, listen, if you have a problem, if you have any kind of issues with employees like we do here with me, then you need HRP. You need it's so important that your business runs smoothly, that you do it as efficiently as possible. You know, a lot of people are counting on you, if you're the CEO, the CFO, that you make money so that they can stay employed, they can feed their families. You got to do it right. You got to do it well. And if you do it well, then, you know, and you don't succeed, well, that's another thing. But if your business is succeeding, but it's not as profitable as it could be, maybe you're just doing stuff wrong. Maybe you're spending too much on payroll. Maybe you're spending too much on HR. Maybe your benefits packages aren't great. Your employees don't want to be there. Maybe you're spending too much time and money on taxes. You know, have the experts at HR&P take care of this stuff for you. And they will. HRP.net, they're awesome at this stuff. This is what they do every single day. They got proprietary technology that the other guys don't have that's really, really good. So if you want to streamline your business, go find out. It doesn't cost you a dime to find out. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.